Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Saturday morning, so we are talking about our continuing series as well as answering any questions that come up and addressing any feedback. We've been doing our series on developing supernatural goals, and I kind of gave you an opportunity to catch up last week, and we're going to, from now on, it's pretty much most of the work is going to be dependent on your taking each individual step. In other words, it's not going to be just like fill in the blank or answer these questions. We, each one of us, gets out of God's homework what we put into it. And really, that's what we're talking about. We're not doing this, you know, you're not sending in for me to grade. And you're not going to get a certificate. Nobody's going to approve or disapprove of you for doing it or not doing it. This is an opportunity for you to work with God to overcome negative influences in the soul, in your soulical realm, that operate in the supernatural realm. And it's also opportunities for you to develop your soulical senses that operate in the supernatural realm. We've talked, hopefully by now you've gotten it into you that the spiritual realm is complete. It's no longer an issue for you. You are fully complete and united with God. His opinion of you will not and cannot change because it is based on your spiritual being, which is his very nature. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the body follows along. Your body is not, though it has a life of its own, its life is tied to this earth, to creation. So where our struggles are in the supernatural realm, in our soul, and its relationship to the supernatural realm. So I'm not sure if there's questions about how we understand the whole concept of soul. So if you do have questions about that, let me know. So when we're looking at our soul in relationship to the supernatural, again, just a quick recap, we see that there are things that we are not taking in as our responsibility. There are things that we very often are settling to for living with, that this is the way things are and nothing is going to change until we die or until God does something sovereignly. And we have a tendency to think that the changes that we need, that there's only two options. That either we do it all or God does it all. When in fact, God's intention and desire and our need is to work together. When we look at the whole concept of change that needs to be done, when we look at the whole concept of improving our lives or learning to live a different way now, and again, these are in the context of learning to rule and reign as sons here in this earth. We are at a loss often because we've not been exposed to this way of thinking. Most Christians, I won't say all, but most Christians have been taught that there are specific Christian duties. And as long as you perform those duties, you are pleasing God. And those duties may vary according to your denomination, your culture, your belief system, where you go to church, on and on and on. But as far as God is concerned, what is important to him is not those duties, but are you depending on him? So we think those doing the duties will bring us healing because it pleases God. Or perhaps that some way, in some way, God is obligated to bless you or take care of you because we are doing what we've been told to do, which misses his heart for us, which misses the whole concept of the reality and objectivity of his love for us. So in moving, we are moving instead from duty, you know, a set of standards. This is what we do to please God. To, spiritually speaking, I am pleasing God now. This is how we can be in depression or anger or misbelief or having made a huge mistake or blunder and still know that we are pleasing God. Because that depression, that anger, that lack, that misbelief, those blunders, are not you. Okay, you are your spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. Your spirit is complete. Your spirit is not angry, does not fail, does not make mistakes, does not miss God, is not in transition. So we can, that's how we can rest in Him and still be working in this earth. It's not to accomplish something for Him. It's depending on Him to train us and make us ready and change us according to His blueprints. And again, spiritually, you know what those blueprints are. You know what He has ahead for you. And you truly are fully cooperating with Him. But your greatest problem is your soul. So we've been doing homework, just basically still doing research. And a lot of times what you find, even in scientific research, for instance, or in, say, if you were going to research whether you can afford to buy a house or not, hopefully you don't just go to a bank and say, give me a mortgage, I want to buy a house. Hopefully what you do is all your research. You take responsibility for that. You don't leave it for the bank to decide what house, where, how much you can afford, how you're going to pay it back. I had a friend of mine who went and got he had three kids, but he went and bought a huge SUV, one of the giant size, where his payments were, $600 a month. And it didn't take too long for him to realize he just couldn't afford it. Now, his response was, well, the salesman should have known I couldn't afford it. And a lot of us are like that. We think if something is available to us, we should be able to have it without any work, without our taking responsibility for learning about it first. So doing our research in overcoming our wounds, we look at not just, okay, this is what I need to, this is what's wrong. Okay, I need to fix this. But doing the research would have prevented my friend from getting the car, the SUV to begin with. Because part of that research would have been, how much money do I have? How much does this cost? What is my budget? What would I have to give up for this? And he would have made a choice, a decision, and not just an emotional impulse. Likewise, in dealing with our whole approach to overcoming these wounds and these interferences and these speed bumps between our soul and our spirit. We've been doing research. We've been looking at, okay, knowing that my temperament is thus and so, perhaps I just, you know, I'll just get something done, and if it's done slightly wrong, that's okay, at least it's done. I had worked with a friend who, he was the most successful new business developer in his company, and he was also the busiest, but he'd also get the most done. And people were always asking him, you know, how can you, everybody else that worked with him, his partners, were always behind. And his response was, well, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. In other words, he recognized he was not a perfectionist. And other people recognized it. They knew that if they gave him a project, it would get done. It may not be pretty, it may not be impressive to the outside person, but if you wanted it just done, his goal was to get it done, get it off his desk. And he did. Now, there are plenty of other people who could make a nice, pretty presentation. But if somebody just needed some figures, call him up, say, what can you do for me? And he'd call him up and leave a message on the phone. This is the answer. He got it done. So we have to evaluate how our temperament interferes with our perceptions of what needs to be changed. Likewise, if we're a feeling person, an emotional person, we don't work on something unless we feel like it. And that's something we need to overcome. And then there's those who have to understand before they'll work on it. And very often, that understanding, by the time you understand it, the opportunity's gone. Now, there's times when it's good that the opportunity's gone. But this is all part of our research, finding out about how we work in our soul, because you're unique. The only ones who can really give you insight into how you work and operate are God and those who live with you, and sometimes those who work with you. And maybe you get feedback from them that you've discounted. Well, they just don't understand. They just don't get what I mean. You know, we've all heard about in a business where there'll be one person who's brilliant and articulate and presents himself, knows his business inside and out. But he doesn't read the memos. He doesn't return phone calls. He doesn't get his work done. Then there'll be somebody else in the office who's less brilliant, less articulate, less an expert in the field, but the work gets done. It may not be as brilliant or articulate or as well presented, but it got done. And so probably some of us are relating to the guy, wait a minute, I'm more brilliant. You know, I could have done it better. I could have done that presentation better. If I'd gotten that assignment, I could have done it better. And then we feel resentment and on. That's the whole point, is are we being distracted and disoriented because we are relying on our temperament or our own perception of ourselves? This is where that being objective comes in. So we stand back and we look at, recent homework has been comparing in the negative sense where we are now, those areas that we want to overcome, to where we want to be in 5 years from now. What do we need to do to get from here to there? And we start with, of course, as always, asking God. And one of the things that we have to do that, in order to be able to hear him clearly regarding that, you need to look at the situation, look at you, look at your actions objectively. Now, in the world, in life, people just call that growing up, maturity. You find out the world does not revolve around you, regardless of what you think, feel, or act like. This is one of the reasons people who win the lottery or sports figures or musicians who all of a sudden make tons of money squander it, lose it, go bankrupt, ruin their careers. Because they can't evaluate and make decisions objectively. So part of what we're learning is to see things from a spiritual perspective. And that's really being objective. Going back to our two guys in the office, and one's brilliant and the other's not so brilliant, but he gets work done. For us, the work that needs to get done is that change, that healing, that revising the viewpoint we have of ourselves, of others, and of our own situation. Change. And if we can't see that objectively, the change we make will be protective of ourselves. In other words, we'll let God go into every corner of our house except that closet. We will reserve something to ourselves. We won't let him change a particular area. But if we look at it objectively, now say if talking about the two guys in the office, what if the brilliant guy goes into his boss and says, if you don't give me a better project like you gave the guy across the way, I'm going to quit. Well, if that boss is being objective, he's got one person who he gives the best projects to because he gets them done. He's got another person who's brilliant and articulate and experienced in that area, but he can't get anything done. In other words, there's risk there. So objectively, people take risks, evaluate risks, just as in real personal relationships. We're objective about the decisions, about the people we're in relationship with. Now, if someone came up to the street, came up to you on the street and asked to borrow $100, it would depend on an objective evaluation about whether you gave them that $100. If it was a complete stranger, odds are, unless you check with God and he says, yes, give it to him, you wouldn't give him the $100. Now, if your spouse came up or one of your kids said, hey, you know, you were going to give me $100 to go buy that bike, you'd give him the $100. Or if you had borrowed $100 from a coworker and they needed it back and they saw you on the street, you'd give them the $100. So we don't look at the surface issues. We do our research. And very often it's the research and the circumstance and the context that we have to spend time on. We have to put the effort in to give God the opportunity to make those changes. As we do that, it becomes habit. Our two guys in the office. That boss is going to say, look, Jerry, you're brilliant. You're articulate. You're experienced in your field. But I can't trust you to get your work done. So I can't give you any projects that are timely. Work on it, and we'll see what we can do. Now, Jerry has some choices to make. Is he going to take in that feedback? As objective and reality, as his boss not being personal, and say, even ask, okay, how do I do that? This is an area I need to work on. Or does he go back to his office and just say, he just likes Tom better? Or Tom can do it because he doesn't have the strain on the family that I do. Or the world's out to get me. Fill in the blank. We come up with excuses and reasons and scripts. But being objective about where we are and where we need to go, where we want to go, gives God the opportunity to point us in the direction we need to go so we can cooperate with him in making whatever changes. Because it's not just about healing wounds. Once those wounds are healed, we need to relearn how to be, how to live, how to work, how to be in relationships. So God's going to do his part. We need to learn how to do ours. So be thinking about that focus as you consider your homework from the past few weeks. We'll be getting back together again Monday at 7:30. And I'll see you then. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.